This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop and hear what's that sound. Everybody look what's going on.
I want people to think about our politics here today in America. Because I'm telling you guys, I don't know of a single nation in the history of the world that's been able to solve its problems when half the people in a country absolutely hate the other half the people in that country. And I want everybody to understand at the end of the night, this is not a partisan issue. It really is not. Turn on the news and watch these parliaments around the world where people throw chairs at each other and punches. And ask yourself, how does that make you feel about those countries? Doesn't give you a lot of confidence about those countries. Now, I'm not arguing that we're anywhere near that here tonight, but we're flirting with it. We're flirting with it in this body, and we are flirting with it in this country. We are becoming a society incapable of having debates anymore. In this country, if you watch the big policy debates that are going on in America, no one ever stops to say, I think you're wrong, I understand your point of view, I get it, you have some valid points, but let me tell you why I think my view is better. I don't hear that anymore. Here's what I hear almost automatically, and let me be fair, from both sides of these debates. Immediately, as soon as you offer an idea, the other side jumps and says, the reason why you say that is because you don't care about poor people, because you only care about rich people, because you're this or you're that or you're the other. And I'm just telling you guys, we are reaching a point in this republic where we're not going to be able to solve the simplest of issues because everyone is putting themselves in a corner where everyone hates everybody. And I understand when I see my colleagues stand up and say something I don't agree with, I try to tell myself, look, I don't understand why they stand for that, but I know why they're doing it because they represent people who believe that. And I am so grateful that God has allowed me to be born and to live and to raise my family in a nation where people with such different points of view are able to debate those things in a way that doesn't lead to war, that doesn't lead to overthrows, that doesn't lead to violence.
Well, I'll tell you, what a sober perspective, you know, for all of us across the country to consider. Marco Rubio, again, stands tall in encouraging all of us and putting out a call for civility. I mean, we're not going to solve these problems. You know, just letting hatred lead the way here. It's not going to happen. This is why our founding fathers placed such a grave importance on our First Amendment right of free speech. And in that statement and that whole concept of free speech came responsibility, because what was the basis of all this was self-rule and self-responsibility. The fact that we would respect one another. If you don't respect one another and where they're coming from, then free speech and every other amendment that goes along with it and manifestation of our Constitution is abrogated to this hatred. It's the foundation is destroyed, and you can't have, so you got everybody speaking freely, but nobody's communicating, and we're not advancing the cause here. And as Marco Rubio brings out, and one of the things that I've maintained here is that no one person has all the goods. We have to listen to each other. I mean, the classic case here that should stand above all cases is our healthcare system right now. This was all done by one party. People were ignored flat out and told not to participate. This wasn't their problem. It was going to be the president's and the Democratic Party. They were going to solve our national health care problem. And now you hear the debate and it's like, boy, the Republicans better not screw this up. Wait a minute. You know, this thing's already screwed up. It's not what the Republicans are trying to, trying to hold this together on behalf of we the people. And from what I see right now is the door is open for Democrats and those of opposing views to bring their say into it so that it can be better. This is the beauty of the United States. If we exercise what our founding fathers had in mind, and if we look back historically and we see empirically how wonderful this United States can work when it works together. But if we want to be uncivil, if we want to burn down buildings and take over college campuses and tell people to shut up and invalidate them, I mean, that is the ultimate of rudeness right there, is telling people they don't matter and they're not valued and they're not part of the system.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
If it's going to happen, we got to be civil, right? Take the advice of Senator Marco Rubio. We got to figure it out, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get beyond this contention to where people just are not allowed to participate in the conversation in the public square. It is to our detriment, clearly, and this is what we're seeing happening right now. We can't talk when we're busy burning down buildings and being contentious for what? And my situation, when I look at this, and I don't know what your perspective is, but when I see acts like this, you know, that occur across our country, this kind of protestation. And I grew up, I mean, I'm a baby boomer, so I grew up around protests, whether it was Vietnam, you know, the Watts riots. I was there in Southern California when that took place. You know, and I've been around it. But after, you know, after everything is said and done, and after the buildings and the houses and people die as a result of it, and all the insanity that takes place, are we better off? Has the conversation gotten more civil? Have we done something to solve the situation? And, you know, I doubt that we have. In fact, our next guest, we're going to talk about the war on poverty. It was, as you might recall from history, it was 1964-65 when then President Lyndon Johnson said, look, we're going to declare a war on poverty. We're going to do something. We're going to, you know, institute all these programs that are going to lift people out of poverty. At that point, I think we were about 15%. Here we are, how many years later, you know, 50 years later, and our percentage of those that are subject and in this category, we went from 15 to 15.1%, and it only cost us $22 trillion to accomplish that. So obviously, you can tell from the evidence that something is missing here, and our next guest is going to give us some ideas here, because he has worked with some ideas, they put them to work, and there's been effective change. Peter Cove is nationally acclaimed advocate for private solutions to welfare dependency, author of the new book, Poor No More, Rethinking Dependency and the War on Poverty. Peter Cove, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, as the founder of America Works, the first for-profit welfare-to-work company, explain to our audience what your vision was and what it remains for America Works.
Well, America Works was the first for-profit company doing welfare-to-work in the United States. I set it up in 1984. We place close to 1 million people in jobs around the United States, and these are all people who were previously dependent on public support. These were welfare recipients, people children maxing out of the foster care system, homeless veterans, people with disability. We've just placed all kinds of people into jobs. And And I came to write the book because I realized that, as you indicated, in 1965, the poverty rates were around 15.5%. They're now around 15.1% or so. And we had spent over $22 trillion. That's the market value of the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, unbelievable amounts of money. And I had to look back on my over 50 years and say, what went wrong? I was part of it. It was a mea culpa moment for me because I had to look at it and say, I ran these programs. I helped evaluate these programs. I set them up, and they didn't work. And I had to say to myself, what is it that would work? And came up with, I think, a radical solution.
Well, okay, let's answer the question. What is it, based on what we know now, $22 trillion later, you know, you stepping up to take some responsibility, and not that you are singularly responsible, you have a role in this, and I appreciate your commitment to do something about it, because a lot of people can sit around their kitchen tables and complain about this, that we put out a lot of money, and I think that one of the things that the government misses out on, which I think may be reintroduced into our country with a jobs-oriented, business-oriented president, and that is return on investment. We're talking the people's money here. We pour out, I mean, the government just announced that it collected the most money in any one quarter ever in our history, and we're still broke. So what is wrong with this picture here? So I think that it's reasonable to ask for return on investment, and, you know, there are better ways. But if we don't look to it and we just keep throwing money to the problem, then we just keep digging a deeper hole, don't we, Peter?
Well, absolutely. At some point, work became a four-letter word in terms of social policy and moving people from dependency. I don't know why. I can't tell you exactly why, but it did. And what I have found is that jobs really make the difference. If mm-hmm. you want to get a person independent off of government support and feeling a pride in themselves, get them working.
Exactly.
And what we did in this country is we had people on dependency payments. We had people on disability payments and on welfare payments and on unemployment insurance. And what we were doing is keeping a dependent class.
Exactly.
And I felt very strongly that what we should have been doing is moving people into jobs. And I really began to realize that in the mid-80s, but came to establish America Works as the beacon for that. Mm-hmm. And then in my pursuit of what a solution would be, I said, okay, if jobs are the answer, how do we get to that? And my solution was the following, that we get rid of all welfare programs except for people who physically and mentally truly cannot go to work, that we get rid of all poverty programs because they don't work. I mean, we've seen that, and then we were just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we take all that money, and it's a lot of money, and I have the calculations in the book, mm-hmm. and we switch it over to creating jobs in the private sector and as a secondary source of the public sector, but I see that as a real fallback. I think we can create most of those jobs in the private sector with the money that would be saved from all these wasteful expenditures.
Exactly. Well, you know, what you're getting to here, Peter, is really the heart and soul of an individual. You know, there is a force, and some would look at it and say it's diabolical to force people into a situation that is not in their best interest. And I say force, but you could say encourage, kind of entrap them. Some would even use enslave as a description of this, because it does make them dependent. It holds them it holds them down is what it does. And when you look at the very...
You're absolutely right. What's diabolical is not believing that people want to work. What's diabolical is keeping them dependent. That's diabolical.
Exactly. Well, because it has to do with the very essence of what it's all about. Peter, you know, in your experience, boy, you take away the ability for you to be productive. And what would that do to you psychologically?
Well, it's a terrible thing. And I think around 1983 or 84, Pope John Paul wrote an encyclical on the value of work. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But what he said was that if you take away work and deprive people of work, you're depriving them of their ability to have spirituality. And I think that's really true. You don't want to take away from a person's ability to feel about themselves that they are doing something that is worthwhile. And we have done that in this country, and I think it's very unfortunate. People want to believe that they're being humanitarian and that being benevolent.
Exactly. Peter, we've got to go to break. We're going to pause it right here. We'll pick it up.
Guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Hey, DC, there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, coming at you just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Great to have you along for the ride here, ladies and gentlemen. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, our conversation with Peter Cove continues. His book, Poor No More, Rethinking Dependency and the War on Poverty, was in the 60s that America set out to end poverty. policymakers put forth an unprecedented package of legislation funding poverty programs and empowering the poor through ineffectual employment-related education and training. Decades after the war on poverty began, many of its programs have failed. Only one thing really worked to help end poverty, and that was work itself. And Peter, that's the bottom line of all this, is it elevates people psychologically. It gives them a sense of self-worth and value. And that's what people want. And it's sad that we've, you know, we're in a, unlike what happened during the Great Depression, when there was a sense of pride in this country, Peter, that people had, they felt like to be on government programs, was not a positive thing. It was something they needed to get out of as quickly as possible. And it was the psychology of the American people and the values that came with them that, you know, spurred them on and motivated them. Today, the environment is such that it's also acceptable. But as we know, there's no such thing as something for free, that there's always a price to be paid. And I believe that what we're realizing here is the price that we're asking people to pay. Some might suggest it's their very soul.
Oh, I so agree. In the 60s, there was something called the welfare rights movement that began, went through the 70s and 80s. And what it was saying was, you have a right to be on government support. There's no shame in that. You go ahead. So get on. And there were, it was actually a commissioner in New York who was called Come and Get It Ginsburg, who just was really, on, and he represented people all over the country. That we're looking to put people onto the rolls rather than having them go to work. And part of that was a belief, particularly on the left, that people didn't have the ability to go to work, that they didn't have the goods. And on the right, it was that they didn't want to work. And both were wrong. Both were wrong. The truth was people really did have the ability to go to work. And the fact was most did want to work. We believe that very strongly that America works. It's why we've been successful. It's why we've placed almost a million people in jobs around the United States, people who would have otherwise been dependent on government if we believed that either they couldn't work or they wouldn't work.
Well, and it's one thing if you're incapable because of some, you know, problem that you have health-wise or, you know, something that keeps you from working. That's one thing, and I think you'll have a lot of compassion there. Part of the challenges that we have today is when people make poor choices and they render themselves useless because of drugs or whatever thing that they put themselves into, and then they go to we the people and say, you know, carry the day for us, you know, pay for us, when it was their choice and their decision that have done this. Now, I understand in part that is one thing, you know, this is all part of the equation. That is not the sum total of it, because you also have government programs that have, you know, incentivized people to make poor choices as well.
Right.
Because we've lost sight of what is the most important thing we can do for our fellow men.
No, absolutely. Clearly, I'll hit both those issues. One, clearly, we have government putting people in a position where they become dependent. And it's not necessarily a vicious notion by people and bureaucrats, but they feel compassion and they feel that they should be giving people things. Well, giving people things does not empower them. Mm-hmm. That keeps them dependent. And I just think we need to consider reevaluating how we deal with people's dependency and poverty. As for people who have made bad decisions, yes, of course, there are people who have made some bad decisions. But you know something? There's hardly a person that we haven't been able to place. Let me give you an example. A person coming out of jail, we do a lot of placing of ex-offenders. Let's take a ninth grade education, been in jail for 5 years, comes out. What do you do with that person? Well, I'll tell you one thing we do with them. We put them in a back room doing customer service at a company. They're really good at BSing. Right. They've been on the street. They know how to talk. They know how to convince people of things. They can sell things. And they're kind of out of harm's way. And they're very successful in doing customer service. So there's hardly a person. We take people who are currently on some drugs. As long as they stay in a drug treatment program, we'll place them in a job. and keep them in that job and help them along. So that, you know, sure, there are certain conditions in which you can't get that person working at the time. But most people, we have been able to move into jobs and successfully.
Well, you got to give them an opportunity. I mean, there's always a trade-off here, right? I mean, what are you willing to give up for something that you could gain? They have to perceive it as valuable. And the one thing, Peter, and I'm sure you're probably finding the same thing, the thing that I find over and over again is give people an opportunity to be productive. And man, that will go a long way. They want it, it just, you know, as you said earlier about Freud, about, you know, love and work, the two most important things. I mean, here it is, Valentine's Day, and we know about love, but also we know about work, and that we want this sense. I mean, I don't care who you are, where you are, you know, I think everybody, just most everybody in this country has this sense, maybe this inner conscience clock of labor that says, I need to be putting in my 8 hours today. And if I'm not putting in my 8 hours, I start feeling a little agitated, and I've got to really almost sear my conscience to avoid that sense of, I guess maybe obligation, an inner obligation to be of worth, you know, to myself and my family and the community.
Well, absolutely. And work does a number of things. It does exactly what you were just saying just so eloquently in terms of self-worth. But it also enculturates. It takes people and makes them part of our society in a way that, well, we do have church and we do have school, but those don't seem to be doing as well. Work always enculturates, and enculturates well because you have to behave in a certain way to succeed in the job. And we find that particularly with people coming out of jail, it enculturates them. Or and another example, when we place people who are mentally retarded coming out of sheltered workshops, they'll have what I would call sheltered workshop behavior. They'll be rocking back and forth. They'll be wearing funny hats. And they go into work in that company, and within a month, they look like the rest of the employees.
I know, right? Exactly. Yes, exactly. Excellent, excellent point. And I've seen that happen time and again, you know, just nothing like, you know, the peer pressure. I kind of like what, you know, Zig Ziglar said one time about people, you know, the creativity of the youth. And this was, I think, back in the 80s and 90s when he made this statement. He says, you know, I love the creativity of today's youth. And if he loved it then, he would have loved it even more so today. It is most incredible. But he said, you know, the problem he had with hiring somebody like that is he said he'd have to spend 75% of his time explaining them to the rest of his staff. But, you know, and I think that, you know, and everybody got a good chuckle out of that and had to realize that there was some relevance to it. But the thing that you see is that there's nothing like peer pressure, and the group is like, okay, if you want to fit in, we love creativity, but, you know, you got to do it within the context of the group dynamic.
That's right. And that's where you get enculturated. You become part of our society, and you act by the norms that are accepted by our society. It's that work is very important, and I just cannot emphasize it enough. We've somehow drifted away from that. We really got to it with welfare reform in 96 when the welfare rolls within 10 years were reduced by 60% because we were putting people to work, but we're starting to drift away from that now.
Yeah, exactly.
The counter pressure, put them back in classrooms, the jobs aren't good enough, all kinds of reasons. And the fact is we can't keep giving people things. We've got to help them give it to themselves by working.
Exactly. Got to teach them how to fish. That's what it's all about, Peter Cove. Excellent book, and we really want to put this on a megaphone. We need to understand what's going on and what we have done, you know, for a sense of compassion. There's nothing wrong with it, but when it overtakes the real answer here, then we have what we have today. Poor No More, Rethinking Dependency and the War on Poverty. Peter Cove. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee.
If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. So Clean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, America. How you doing? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Make sure you check out our Twitter. Go and tweet me your best, the best gift you ever got for Valentine's Day, okay? At B. Martinez Live, and it's right there. And let us know your ideas. Maybe, it might be an encouragement to others. But let us know what was the best gift that you received on Valentine's Day. Brian Crabtree is with us, the publisher of Talk40.com and TheRealEstateExperts.com, as well as a contributor to townhall.com. He's got all the .coms covered, Clash Daily and Daily Caller as well. Brian, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Good to be back.
Hey, Brian, I'm like you. When I saw your article here about this growing anarchy that's happening in the streets, I'm thinking, wow, this is not going to go away anytime soon. And also, I think it's a bit, I can't quite make the connection that some are trying to make. And maybe it's the left trying to say, well, this isn't as bad. This is no different than the Tea Party. But I think it's a huge difference between the two entities. But let's deal with this movement of anarchy that seems to be taking place. I mean, if you have anything to do with Trump, whether your name is Trump and you sell clothes or you support Trump or, at least we got some good news for somebody at the Grammys who you talk about going into the belly of the beast. She wears a Trump dress, really quite elegant. And then she ends up selling overnight over a half million records. I mean, it served her well, which I'm sure causes the left to chip their teeth a little bit.
Yeah, and that's a good example. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm in the process of writing an article right now where really the theme of the article is that the intention of the left is to make you pay for voting for Trump. They know that that the majority of people in the country right now, you look at the Rasmussen polls, approve of Donald Trump's performance as president. They approve of the direction he wants to take the country. There's a small faction of people, probably in single digits, in this country who are hysterical. They're emotional. They're what drives the left. They're the loud vocal group. And so they've been given an unfettered stage. Why? Most of us who voted for Trump were called the silent majority. We're the people that showed up in massive numbers, the forgotten Americans that hadn't been heard from in years, that had been silenced, that allowed these people to take the stage and take control of it. And so these people came and they showed up, the silent majority, and did something that the left didn't think was possible, and it sent them into a tailspin. Look at how hysterical they are. Imagine if those same forgotten silent Americans became as vocal as some of these people on the left, and they started pushing back, showing them the mirror, making them look at themselves, making them realize, calling them out, just like Trump does, counterpunching them. And we did it as the majority, not the silent majority. They would run with their head between their tails to the nearest rock they could crawl under, and this would all go away over some time. But because that's not likely to happen in any kind of a chorus or overwhelming factor, this is going to get far worse before it gets better, before the left just exhaust themselves, or Trump fails. One of the two is going to happen. Either they're going to exhaust themselves into complete embarrassment and failure, or Trump is going to fail, and it will not be his fault. It will be their fault.
Well, it is amazing how the left has always accused the right of wanting to set the clocks back and to, to enslave them and all this sort of thing. But it is the left that wants to put the silent majority, the forgotten man, back where they feel that the forgotten man belongs. That is to be forgotten, to be irrelevant, to not participate, because they have such a handle of this government. They've done such a great job after 20 some trillion dollars in debt, poverty levels at record highs, unemployment at record highs. But somehow their way is better than what the forgotten man's way is all about.
Well, there's two points there. First of all, the forgotten man in their mind's eye is a white man, and so the white men deserve to be punished for all that we have done to all of them over the years. Many of the people saying this are white people that are Democrats, and it always amazes me because they're the biggest bigots of the country, yet they are supposed to be far above that. I never have gotten that part of it, but it's part of the emotional side of the liberals. You have to remember, when you're talking about liberalism and trying to understand it, they haven't thought through most of their positions. All they know is those positions draw in a number of people and empower them, and they can't justify it. I saw Jorge Ramos on with Hannity last night on Fox News, and I was interested in watching it because I'm not saying Jorge is a bad guy. He just has no sense.
Right.
And he didn't have, after 20 questions that were all the same question, justify why putting Americans at risk with this immigration policy. Why put one American at risk? Why not have a more orderly immigration policy? Never a logical answer. And this goes back to what I said a moment ago. We've got to make these people face their emotions. They're very emotional. They're very upset, and they get to run from that because we don't hold them to account. We don't punch back. We got to do that, and I don't think we will. And so,
this is starting to happen, Brian. But that's the opportunity that we have. Is you have to be able to have the words that break through. That because they're yelling and screaming, and there's lots of emotions, and it's like somebody's drowning. Lifeguards will tell you if somebody's drowning, you don't go and save them right away. You got to let them go and get the fight out of themselves. You let them. We just rope a dope. And let them fight themselves out, because their emotions will be spent. The thing is that we have to stay focused on is what the goal is, and not get caught up in all this emotion and get dissuaded and lose interest, because that's what they're counting on. They're counting on that their emotion is going to override the practicality and the things that need to be brought to the conversation. I'm not saying that they should be negated and we should do the same thing to them as they've done to us and invalidate and make them feel less than. They need to be involved in the conversation. Our encouragement here is that my chastening to the Democratic Party is get over it. You need to get into this war that we're dealing with here in America, and this war in our culture, the attacks that we've got people in other countries saying we want to kill Americans, and you guys are worried about your safe places and microaggression and bathroom problems. And I mean, we got bigger problems than this, and we need you here to help fix these problems. Obamacare just being one of them. And I don't want to sit there and say it was all your fault because you were the ones that created this, but if we're going to come up with the right answer, it needs to be a bipartisan, balanced answer, and that means everybody needs to get involved. But we can't get everybody involved if we're so angry and incivil. I don't know if you heard that speech or comments that Marco Rubio made about civility. Very, very poignant, on point, and something that all of America needs to hear and buy into. But my encouragement to conservatives, and even if you want to say white America, stay focused. Keep your eyes on the goal. Don't get dissuaded by all this energy and this false reporting that's coming down the pike right now.
Well, I think you have to look, though, at the situation. If you look and make a contrast between what Obama got away with let's say, Susan Rice and Benghazi comes to mind. So she goes out and lies to the American people over and over and over again, and then a few months later she's promoted to UN ambassador. That's what happens when you lie and do what Michael Flynn did within the Trump administration, but you're in a liberal administration such as Obama. You get a promotion when you do these kind of things. And,
right.
and really, I don't know that what Michael Flynn did rose even to the level of what Susan Rice did regarding Benghazi. Was it bad judgment? Yes. Would I be upset? Should he have been fired? Should he have resigned? Yes. I think what he did was stupid. For him to go out and be talking to Russia while the biggest media coverage in America is about, whether it's true or not, Russian ties to Trump officials. That was going on in December, and he's talking, wink, wink, and a nod to Trump, to Russians. That was a very bad idea. And then he lied about it once it came out. So, it was a bad thing, probably in the context of all this. Good to clean and stay high road and get him out of there. But if you really think about the number of things that happened in the Obama administration that got almost no coverage, this is nowhere near that.
No, there's no question. So, and we're going to, and Brian, that's the reality of it all. Whenever we get into this comparative of what the Democrats get away with, Republicans, I think we lose sight of the most important things. Keep our eyes on the goal. Let's keep moving forward. Support this president and make sure that you know what you're talking about, that you don't meet emotion with emotion. Let emotion fight itself out. And if you have a chance, be reasonable and give them something to think about.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. I'm not optimistic that that will prevail.
I understand. We're Brian Crabtree. Always good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, sir.
Public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
This report is brought to you by Staples. It's Monday morning, and you've got a schedule full of meetings. But what if you aren't feeling well? Staples' 7th annual cold and flu survey reveals that nearly 80% of U.S. workers go into the office when they are ill, despite being aware of the danger it presents to their workplace. 73% of those surveyed also report that they caught a cold or the flu in their office last year, with nearly one-third citing their sick coworkers as the culprit. Chris Carenti, VP and General Manager of Staples Facility Solutions, offers some advice.
Staying home from work when you're feeling ill can often feel like a tough choice to make, but it's a necessary one. Not only are you spreading germs, but sick employees are generally less productive and can impact a business's bottom line. Cold and flu viruses can live on a surface for up to 3 days, so keep germs at bay by washing your hands and disinfecting your workspace regularly.
For more tips and resources, visit www.staplesadvantage.com.
Taking turmeric is good, but there's a problem with it. The active ingredient in turmeric, known as curcumin, is poorly absorbed into the cells due to its large particle size. But now, One Planet Nutrition has the answer for this powerful anti-inflammatory. Nanocurcumin, a nanoparticle curcumin which absorbs over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Discover more health benefits of nanocurcumin and nanocurcumin plus, now on sale at oneplanetnutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at oneplanetnutrition.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us for the ride. And who better than to have in the main chair, number one chair, we might say, James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor, Mr. James. How are we doing, buddy?
Hey, doing fantastic. Although I had to endure the Grammys, gosh.
Were you on the edge of your seat like me? I kept thinking at any moment it's going to get really overt. I mean, they danced on the edges. They did their best to hold on to it. Some of it was a little kooky, but, you know, hey, what did you expect?
Yeah, no. I mean, well, I have a special expectation. I'm a member of this group,
yes.
The NARIS. I'm actually a lifetime member. I've been to the Grammys, and I just am always hoping that maybe, you know, and they did, look, to their credit, you know, they had some performances that were sort of clean and not filled with, you know, politics, mm-hmm. but they couldn't help it. You know, the producer who's in charge of the Grammys had telegraphed it and said that he basically told everyone, that were presenters and everyone, to just say whatever they wanted, to use it for artistic expression. And even James Corden, the host, who was actually very good mm-hmm. and very funny, yeah. was doing this kind of white person's rap, which was very
funny. The opening, with one shoe, by the way. And he was still able to hold some sort of rhythm.
Yeah, it was really a corny rhythm. Yeah. But he had to throw in an explicit jam of Trump,
right.
which, of course, went wild in the social media. It was a line that said, living on our life because this is best, but with President Trump, you don't know what comes next. Yeah. Not a real great rhyme,
no.
but it was there.
Yeah.
There was a woman, Joy Miller, an actress singer, who wore a dress that said, make America great again,
yeah.
and it had a train on it.
Right.
It said Trump.
Yeah.
And down the road,
you said Miller. Villa, wasn't it? Villa?
Villa
Joy,
was
Joy Villa.
Club.
Yeah. Right. Joy
and,
Villa.
Her you know, she's basically an independent artist, and mm-hmm. her album sales went through the roof.
Yeah, right.
Since she did that, but I'm not sure which side of the fence she was on with that dress. It wasn't a red dress; it was blue, and hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, J Lo had one of these. I would call it a gentle reference to the administration without mentioning their name. You know, we have no need for silence, no room for fear, blah, blah, blah. Katy Perry wore an armband with the word persist on it, which is a reference to Elizabeth Warren, who said she persist. She screamed the words no hate while standing in front of a Constitution background. But the worst thing, there's an old rap group, I mean, a really poor rap group, by the way, A Tribe Called Quest, and Busta Rhymes, the rapper, was with them. It was like the old rappers who can't hold a candle to the younger guys. And they did this really lame rap where they called Trump Agent Orange, referring to him as a poison. They talked about the Muslim ban, which doesn't exist. And they knocked over a brick wall. Gee, I wonder what that meant. The wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. And they held their fists up in the air. I mean, it was very lame, but the imagery was war. The imagery was, you know, revolution. And it was completely, utterly irresponsible, and it ruined, really ruined. I mean, the Grammys went along with this sort of subtle subtext, and I looked on the social media, and people were still getting mad. But after that came up, it just tainted the entire proceeding. It was terrible.
Well, you know, what is the purpose of them whipping things up? I mean, do they realize how irresponsible they're being here, James? That they're just on the bandwagon of something they know so little about? I mean, you've got people who spend almost their entire day studying all these different elements of our immigration plan, executive orders and everything, and you think somebody who comes out on a part-time basis has something really wise to say because they happen to be entertainers?
Well, you know, there's always this thing where entertainers will say that they can bring awareness where people aren't looking. And the Grammys have done this in the past, you know, bring awareness to sexual assault that took place on university campuses, bring awareness to, you know, the terrible crises that are happening in the world. But you're absolutely right. This is not bringing awareness. This is mindless lemmings following a trend that is in existence in Hollywood, a really lame trend, where anything that they could possibly attack this president with, they do, and they do it in the form of resistance. And it's a paid-for, organized resistance from the left that is unique to the left. You know, we saw it with the speed in which protests supposedly spontaneously occurred in airports when the executive order was implemented. It was less than an hour they were mobilized. And we know now it was George Soros organizations. It
exactly.
was CARE.
Yeah.
And it's an organized, on the internet primarily, but not just on the internet, an organized group that is unique to the left. The Tea Party was an aberration. The center and the right generally work for a living, have families. They're not full-time activist protesters. But we have a large group of millennials who live in the basement of their parents' houses and many of them go out to these events to meet women or meet the other opposite sex because it's exciting.
Right.
And they get paid for it.
Exactly.
So they're out there with pre-printed signs, and this is, all going to backfire on them.
I thought all those pre-printed signs were all spontaneous. That, along with the outfits they all wear, those black matching outfits. I mean, I thought it was uncanny the way they all matched together when it was all spontaneity.
Yeah, all spontaneity, and they're all chanting the same chant, and they have the same pre-printed signs and T-shirts and black outfits or dressed like ninjas or whatever it may be.
You see, but people need to see this, James. They need to see that they're being orchestrated and worked on. You know, as you mentioned earlier at the onset, as a member of the Academy here, you know, you have your own opinion and what you look in terms of your perception what the Grammys should be about. And, you know, when people came out and spoke, whether it was you know, James Corden, you know, doing the little Trump line and stuff. And even when J-Lo came up and offered her, I thought, rather milquetoast, you know, comments about it. I mean, it was like, you know, I'm not even sure she believed in it, but it wasn't like the audience got all excited about what she was saying.
Yeah, the audience this time, I mean, they really seemed to be more interested in what the thing was about, which was sort of, you know, rewarding musical excellence. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about.
Right.
And it wasn't quite as, you know, supported with the peer group as it was in the SAG Awards. Mm-hmm. But that being said, still, when that old rap group, the Tribe Called Quest, was up there, they panned to the audience, and you saw Jay-Z and Beyonce with big smiles, most of the people with big smiles, couple of people looking uncomfortable, but generally, and those were probably country singers, but generally speaking, they were supporting something that advocates violence. And this is the problem with the left today. The problem with the left today is that they are trying to incite criminality. And the problem with the right today is they don't realize that they're in a war. And the right is still playing by the old rules. Thank goodness that the Trump administration fights back.
Right,
and we
exactly.
need people that fight back. But we sure don't need people to cave like Jason Chaffetz has. And we don't need people to attack their own like we see John McCain and others do. You know, it's just, it's not cool.
Well, this is the thing that Trump is causing people to do, and that is choose who you're for and against, because the exposure and the light of exposure is on bright, whether it's on Jason Chaffetz, as you mentioned. And I was disappointed, but, you know, what you find out is really what people believe in, because he had no answer. And it is amazing. And one thing I can, and you and I have discussed this before, that you have to give the Democrats is when they determine what the party line is, boy, they're all in the same hymn book. There is no deviation whatsoever. The Republicans, no matter what, they're just, I don't know if they think they're God's gift to creativity or what it is, but it's like, what, you guys can't follow, marching orders? You can't talk from the same talking points? Like, that's an offense? What is all that about?
You know, my friend David Horowitz says that you see the left, they call Republicans racist, sexist, xenophobes, fascist, Nazis. And the Republicans call the left liberals. And so they're not playing the same game. Mm-hmm. It's like... Yeah.
Well, one's playing checkers, the other's chess.
Yeah, and one side is actually engaged in a street fight, and the other side wants to debate.
Yeah.
And you can't go to a street fight unarmed. But Trump, thank goodness, is unlike... He's not a politician, and he knows he's in a street fight. And certainly many in his team, Steve Miller, Steve Bannon, Kellyanne Conway, they sure realize they're in a street fight. I mean, that they'll take the slightest kerfluffle.
Yes.
And they turn it into the most ridiculous, turn it into like a crisis.
Yes.
And it isn't. You know, for example, all the time that Hillary Clinton was engaged in jacking up her speeches and getting billions into her foundation, the press ignored it.
Exactly.
But when Kellyanne Conway has one phrase that maybe is a little bit inappropriate, it did not violate a law. Nobody can come up with a law that it violated.
Right.
But that she talked about her friend Ivanka and her line.
Well, they want to throw something out there. Exactly.
And Chaffetz holds.
Exactly.
And you know a Democrat would never do that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, James, we got to leave it right there. James Hurst, the New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Did you know there's